government is the problem.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel
in. Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
What is that chinging noise?
That's me.
Oh, wow, that was loud. Okay, guys, we're going to work out the audio live as we go. We got everything set up about 45 minutes ago, and then we started getting IMs from two or three different people letting us know that it was distorted, and it's weird because usually we're at 30% for our output volume, and now we're like at 2%. So it's something going on with the U-Broadcast server, and I apologize for any booming inconvenience we may have. I also EQ'd the music, took a lot of the bass out and stuff, so the little speakers weren't distorting. What sounds good in my headphones, and Lou rocking out here to the studio monitor, probably doesn't sound good on everybody's computer. And depending on where U-Broadcast has their servers, I'm beginning to think they don't have them equalized out. So somebody listening in New Zealand or Florida, and then somebody listening in California, you guys get different audio levels for some reason. I'll have my tech manager get with their tech manager, and we'll figure it out. Right, Lou?
No,
you don't. Are you feeling better today, Lou? Yeah. Friday you were, like, scary weak. I thought you were going to, like, turn into a zombie or something. Are you okay today?
Yeah.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Did you have a good birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you get for your birthday? Money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, money.
Yeah.
Who made you a cake?
You.
That's right. I made you a cake, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm a good dad, huh? I made a cake. Okay, anyway, that takes up the exciting what's going on behind the scenes news.
Yeah.
This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We come to you live Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m., and that seems to work out good for everybody. I don't know if we'll change it or not.
Yeah.
And we come to you on U-Broadcast. We come from dutchjones.info. Facebook, MySpace to some extent, and then there's a couple other places that take it out. I don't know who they all are, but that's great. If you are receiving this, we'd like to get a feedback on that, and you can send me an email at dutch@dutchjones.info. Somebody's asking you a question, Lou. dutch@dutchjones.info, and just tell me where you're at, where you hear it, how you hear it. If you're hearing it on, tell them it was a chocolate cake, Lou. Now he's going to do it. But we don't care if you rebroadcast us. Just don't edit it. Don't take it out of context. And don't play it for faggots. And that's pretty much it. You know, unless you're using it to torture them, like you have them locked in your basement and you're re-educating them, or, you know, doing one of those things where you go out and kidnap some sodomite because his family wants him to be reprogrammed. Whatever. I really don't want people, like, editing my stuff and chopping it up. But anybody has permission to use it in its entirety, 1 hour at a time, half an hour at a time. Just don't take anything out of context, or we will hunt you down, and we will offend your pets. Lou's really good at doing that. Let's see. What's going on here before I say another big lot in the news today. If you're a friend on Facebook of the Dutch Jones radio program, you got a face load today. I really had a good time just to sit around and study and read news articles today, and there's just so much between the lines garbage that the media is leaking out and trying to manipulate the brains of mush out there, and it's good stuff. So if you're not already on my Facebook, you've got to get over there so that you can see it all. In fact, let me go there now, and not in any particular order, but the stuff that happened over the weekend, I want to talk a little bit about that, about the dreaded copier bomb lady. Turns out it wasn't her. Somebody stole her ID, you know, and they mailed stuff from the vicious country of Yemen to synagogues, and they caught, what's funny is they caught all the bombs. They're saying there may be a half dozen out there still floating around, but they didn't explode. But they caught him. And now they're saying in the same articles that, oh, this proves that there are holes in our security. No, it doesn't. It proves that our security worked. It proved that our human intel works. I don't understand how they're saying that this incident is a glaring hole in our security if they caught it. And I mean, one lady did get burned. I mean, I don't know, she was in Djibouti or something, some foreign country, a postal worker or UPS employee did get hurt. And our you know, I don't want to see that happen. You know, any victim of terrorism is stupid, sad, and cowardly that somebody would do that. But they're going to use this to try and regulate air cargo now. And it's just, you know, I don't get it. I mean, in the same article that they talk about, and I'm going to belabor this. This is a flogging of the dead horse moment here for the Dutch Jones radio program. How can they say in the same article and have any intellectual honesty about this that it proves that there's problems with our security when they caught it? How many synagogues blew up when somebody went to go make copies of the Torah? Huh? How many did? None. None of these bombs made it to their destinations. None of them made it out of the airports. None of them made it off the airplanes, I even believe, from what I've been reading. So for them to try and use this as an excuse to go invade Yemen, which is what they're going to do, the other articles which are posted over there on my Facebook, you can go through them and find them, are saying they want to send hundreds of millions of dollars, tanks, helicopters, advisors, everything over to Yemen now. Yemen's the next thing. Now, Yemen is the poorest of all the Arab nations. It makes Afghanistan look like the Beverly Hills. It does. If you look at it from Google Earth, you'll see that there's like no paved roads anywhere. There's no built-up cities. Everything's basically non-reinforced mud brick huts, except for a few localized areas where, of course, you know, probably the warrior princes live and stuff like that. So it's just going to be another boost to the economy, folks. Another misdirected attack in the war on terror. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm at war with the Nation of Islam, you know, the whole nation, I mean Nation of Islam, well, them too. But the monolithic block of Muslim belief and their jihad against us. But it's so misdirected. We're going to open another front. You know, we slowed down Iraq, which I want to talk a little bit about what happened in Iraq. And, you know, okay, we're done in Iraq, let's leave 50,000 troops there, let's put an unknown number of contractors and everything in Afghanistan. Wait, we need another war. The economy's not doing so well. We've got a bunch of people that are out of work. We've got all these minorities that can't go to college, and so we better put them in uniform and send them over there to burn down other people's mud huts. Can you burn down a mud hut? I guess you blow it up. So now Yemen, those stinking Yemenis. They're sending us exploding copiers. I say we get back at them and send them some exploding mimeograph machines. I didn't even know they had copiers in Yemen. It's supposed to be a Stone Age nation, is what everybody's talking about. What are they? Is that suddenly where like Nikon or Canon or whoever that makes copy? Who's Xerox? They got like a big factory over there with a bunch of child labor guys, and then they're putting it together, and then let's slip bomb into this one. Let's see, it's going to a synagogue in Chicago. This whole story is just completely unbelievable. Totally unbelievable. You know, and they flip-flopped. Oh, this is just a dry run. And it all started out, remember, if you guys were listening on Friday, it started out completely as a radioactive incident. And there's no way around them denying that. I heard it. I called the radio station, and now it's down to, you know, a couple of guys in a hut in the nation of Yemen rigged an exploding copier. It sounds like a Bugs Bunny was in charge of this. You know, Acme. Oh, which Roadrunner? Wile E. Coyote would be more appropriate. He rigged up a copier for Roadrunner. Yeah, Acme. Maybe ask where Acme copiers come from is Yemen. I always thought Afghanistan was bad until I started doing research on Yemen. What better way to improve its standing in the world than to send in a bunch of our troops and bomb it into the modern age, right? And that's another thing that bothers me. This whole Arab nation thing, they're all this big brotherhood of nations. The Sunnis and the Shiites, they all hate each other, all fighting with each other. Why is Yemen so bad? Why aren't they helping out? Just like the Palestinians. But now we're going to go to war with Yemen. I guarantee you there's already troops on the ground. There probably has been since the beginning of this thing. So, you know, September 11th, 2001, it's probably been that way already. And now they just want to send in more. Because you know the corporations need this war to keep going. It has nothing to do with keeping you safe. If it had to do with keeping you safe, they would shut our borders and deport all of the Muslims in this country and either shut down or infiltrate and limit the ability of all the mosques in America. So like I said over the weekend on Facebook, if they really wanted to stop this, they would just go to the Arab and say, okay, for every mosque that is in the United States, we're going to put a Christian church in Saudi Arabia. That's, you know, they wouldn't stand for it. I think that would be a great way to do it. You know, some reciprocity here. But that's my peaceful approach. You guys know my other approach. But that's my peaceful approach. So that was interesting. Getting over to Iraq. They attacked a Catholic church, the Al-Qaeda, and killed like 50 people. Killed 50 Catholics. And you know how I feel about the Catholics, but I'm not gonna kick them in the teeth when they're down. I mean, you know, yeah, they're, you know, Catholic church. Now, I looked up in the to see how many, you know, before we went over there and forced democracy down their throat, I looked at how many churches were attacked in the previous 10 years. Because we've been there like 9 years now, 10 years now, whatever it is. 8 years. In the previous 10 years, there were no churches attacked in Iraq by Al-Qaeda. There was Sunni-Shiite violence going back and forth, and of course the violence against the Kurds. But they were leaving the Christians alone. And I say Christians loosely when I talk about the Catholic Church. Isn't it nice what we've done in Iraq? Oh, isn't it nice that war was, you know, settled? We won. We were able to pull out our so-called, you know, confrontational forces and left behind all the typewriter guys and nurses. And 50 people in a church get gunned down. I'm sure the numbers are nothing what I'm saying. It's probably completely different. It's filtered. Probably know they probably killed the entire congregation. We'll never know the truth in these things. So it's just, those are the two things that stuck out in my mind. The exploding copiers and the fact that we forced democracy on our people. And it's much worse than when... Under Saddam Hussein, a vicious, vile dictator who deserved to be shot in the head by a surgical assassination team. And then his whole family too, of course, over time. And then let the Sunnis and the Shiites fight it out. The Ba'athists and the religious people. But we go in there and everything's great. They still have whole sections of that country that don't have electricity anymore because of what we did. Such misguided patriotism, isn't it? Such ill-focused energy and warfare. Now, had we done it right and gone... I'm not going to flog a dead horse on this one. But we should have gone after the people that were really responsible, and we didn't. And we continue to do this. But it's all about the economy, stupid. It's all about the economy. They've got to get more people in uniform. They've got to get these defense contractors cranking, so they need some place to dump all that ordnance that you're paying for. Now you've got to get somebody to pay for all this stuff. So that's why they're focusing over there. I mean, Iraq's not even done. It'd be like being a little kid and you got a bully on the block that you're fighting, and you go pick a fight with the Jewish kid that plays a piano down the street because he's easier to beat. But at least you can say, hey, I'm still fighting, you know. And that's kind of what our government's doing. But you're making all the other little kids pay for you to go fight them. Even though the bully's still doing what it's doing, Islam's still going to do what it's going to do. Whether we created the monster or not, we can debate that all day long. It's sad. Sad, sad, sad. What is this? New quality AK pistol grip. I don't even know what this is. People are sending me... never mind. Somebody's sending me stuff
on... Ad.
Oh, it's an ad? Is that what that is? Yeah, that's kind of weird. Let's see. Arizona. District Court. 9th District Court, which is over there in Gay Bay, San Francisco. I'm standing here, it's to my right. About 3 hours. Is it about 3 hours to San Francisco? 2 hours, maybe? Well, if Lou was driving, it'd be like 1 hour. Yeah, at least 3 hours. But they're deciding on whether or not to throw out Arizona's immigration law today. They're going over, and it's been flip-flopping back and forth all day, the emails I'm getting. I don't have anybody there, of course. The articles that are coming out, once, ready to throw it out. Now, the latest one that I just got about half an hour ago, and if you got something newer, you know, just chime in when I get back to the chat room. They're saying that it's okay to ask people if they're legal, but it's not okay for you to throw them in jail if they're not, which is kind of a compromise. It goes back to the Hegelian dialect that we talk about all the time. But what I like is the picture on here. It shows a bunch of people. Looks like a lesbian Hispanic lady with something living in her shorts. She's got a swastika on an orange shirt. Just a swastika. And her and another lesbian-looking Hispanic lady carrying a banner that says Veto, V-E-T-O-E, so Veto, SB1070 now. And it's got two swastikas without the slash through them. So I don't know if they want to be fascist. And it's got the peace sign and the O. It's just ridiculous. But the Federal Appeal Court is reviewing Arizona's tough immigration law. It appeared inclined Monday to permit the state to require police to investigate the immigration status of people they have legally stopped, but also seemed ready to reject more punitive provisions giving the state enforcement power. See, they're walking a thin line. They go, it's okay for you to ask if they're legal, but once you find out they're illegal, you can't do anything about it. It's pretty much status quo here in California. Now, a panel of three judges in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals meeting in Gay Bay appeared likely to rule that the Arizona law is allowed to require police in certain situations to investigate a person's immigration status if there's a reasonable cause to suspect that the person has committed a crime. Now, that's okay. That's okay. You know, hopefully they'll apply that to me, too. They can only ask me for my ID if they think I committed a crime. But the panel also seemed to agree with a lower court ruling that other provisions of Arizona's law were preempted by the federal government's sole authority to regulate immigration. Sole authority. I love that. The whole sovereignty issue is just laced in and out of this debate right here over this issue, over 1070. Now, the court appeared likely to reject provisions that would make it a state crime for a person to not carry immigration papers, and that allows for criminal punishment of illegal immigrants who seek work in Arizona. See, they don't want Arizona to be able to do anything about it. So you catch somebody working illegally while they're committing a crime, and then they, oh, hey, man, you know, where's your papers? Oh, I don't have no papers. Well, okay, fine. And then you have to sit there and wait for ICE to come, which they're never going to come. This is going to be a mixed verdict, predicted UC Hastings law professor David I. Levine, noting that the law may ultimately be rendered meaningless. About 200 demonstrators turned up outside the court, with about half opposing the Arizona law and the other backing the legislation. Now, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer also attended the proceedings. The Ninth Circuit Court judges, chosen randomly to hear Arizona's appeal, are John Noonan, appointee of Ronald Reagan, and a moderate Richard Paez, a Bill Clinton appointee who's the son of Mexican immigrants, talk about biased, and Carlos Bia, an appointee of George W. Bush who was born in Spain and once was ordered to be deported from the United States, but Bea appealed and won. So they have, just like when they did the faggot legislation, they let a fag judge on the panel decide whether or not don't ask, don't tell. Now they're letting two immigrants, one of them was an illegal alien, decide this. The whole point I'm reading this to you is the courts are done. Anyone who puts any faith in our courts is following an idol. It's not going to do any good. And I really am sad that, and I forgot her name here, the governor, what was her name? Jan Brewer, thank you. Had an elderly moment there. Doesn't have the ovaries to just say it doesn't matter what the federal courts say. Now, a decision by the Ninth District Court panel could be appealed to a larger circuit panel and then to U.S. Supreme Court, and the three-member panel's ruling could come within weeks or months. I mean, this could drag out for years. Meanwhile, our borders are porous. Muslims, criminals of all types are coming over. It's not just Mexicans. To say this is just a Mexican issue is not to have a broader understanding of the issue. And, of course, that's posted up on my Facebook page. If you'd like to read that, you can go to Facebook, look for Dutch Jones, and then you can read the stuff that's there. I don't understand it. I posted that, and everybody's like, oh, this is great. You know, I'm getting emails from people, oh, it's so good, the Ninth District Court is even going to allow us some of it. Are you even going to allow some of it? They don't even have the jurisdiction to be overlooking it. If a state decides a law within its borders, it's the law. And yes, that means even if you and I don't like it, if California passed a law and they got the votes, said gay marriage was legal, and it's the law of the people here, sure, I would speak about how disgusting it is and how opposed I am to it. I just vote with my feet. If the majority of people want something, even if it's abhorrent or righteous, you have to honor that in a state. The state's rights are paramount as far as I'm concerned. What if a community, what if just a town, like there are towns here that are sanctuary cities, why aren't there towns doing the opposite, that are off-limit cities? If you're an illegal alien and we find you in our town limits, you're going to jail. Or if you, or if we decide we can't afford to put you in jail, we're going to take you down and take you to the nearest sanctuary city and let you be a problem there. I think everybody should put their illegal aliens on buses with tickets to San Francisco, Berkeley. If you're in Colorado, send them to Boulder. I'm trying to think. There's sanctuary cities everywhere. I think Tucson's one. It's kind of weird. You've got such disparity in the state of Arizona. It's bad here, but it's expected here because of the bleeding heart liberal stronghold that was gained here in the 50s and 60s that hasn't left. I don't even want to talk about our governor race, what we're in for here. Just cleaning my glasses there. Sorry if the sound changed quality, but I had to lean back. It's starting to fog up, and I couldn't see the top of the screen. Interesting stuff in the news, though. And everybody's getting all excited. Let's see. Yeah. I think the strongest link in the chain of government is self-government. That's you and me as individuals. You know, under God's law, we self-govern ourselves, then our families, then our churches, then our communities. And that's where it's at. And if we all started doing that, if people just got together and said, no, not in my neighborhood, even something as small as that. I don't want any illegal aliens in my neighborhood. You do everything, you know, that's not violent. I'm not saying go lynch illegal aliens. I've never said that, although people have accused me of saying that. I never even said that in private. I've always said just make it uncomfortable for them to live there. Don't do business with them. Don't do business with contractors that use illegal aliens. That's true, Bat Fag. They do prefer tyranny, and they like to be controlled and told everything's okay, and everything's every person has a right to do whatever they want as long as it doesn't go against what they say. That's the insanity of this chaos. So I got into it with some anarchists today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the anarchists that wanted to kill Sarkozy from Greece. They're going to send a letter bomb. What is it with letter bombs? You know, either through the postal service or those kinds of things. It's crazy. There's just so much going on right now, folks. You've got the Lord spanking Indonesia with volcanoes and earthquakes. You got fighting going on all over the world. Oh, don't even get me started about the anthrax stuff, Bat Fag. They just kind of let that disappear. The guy they thought was the main suspect just suddenly commits suicide. It used to be a metal band, now it's a weapon. Yeah, whoever knew those guys who were so dangerous, anthrax. I can't remember the guy's name with the orange beard. Who did he marry? He married some famous rocker's daughter. Anyway, I get off the subject easily. But in the news today, there's just so much stuff. You talk about the Greeks. You know, two anarchist Greeks are sending letter bombs all over the place to banks. You're going to send them to Sarkozy. These two guys are, one of them was armed. Both of them were armed. One of them had a bullet-resistant vest on, a wig and a hat, and they drop off these letter bombs. They go off in the postal office and burn somebody. I confused that with the previous story. And when they're surrounded by police, they don't go out in a blaze of glory. I hate anarchists. And a lot of people get mad at me for that, but I just don't like anarchists. It just doesn't make sense. They're like the biggest tool of tyranny. Because the very thing that they're fighting is what keeps them going, mob rule. They want everybody to do their own thing, but yet they show up in riotous masses and destroy order and take things from people. They break store windows, they riot, they throw firebombs at cops. They say it's all for some higher goal, but these anarchists, like the ones in Greece, the minute let's say there's anarchy, that's road warrior. Those of us with the guns are going to destroy these milquetoast little vegetarian anarchists. We're going to take their leather jackets and use them for fuel. Yeah, it's weird to me. They're the biggest conformists in the world. You know, they just don't want to mow their daddy's lawn or get a job, so they go throw Molotovs. They're a recruiting pool for Marxists. Once you get to be an anarchist long enough, you realize there's no upward mobility in it. So you have to become a communist if you're going to get anything, you know, chicks or anything. Because an anarchist can't really get chicks because what do they have to offer? You know, rioting and scabs. That's pretty much every anarchist I've ever met. They smell like too much cigarette smoke. They're all on speed, the ones I've met, and they're not worth anything. They couldn't stand in a fight on their own. That's why they show up in anarchistic mobs. And that's the basis of our problem. I mean, the New World Order has got their fingers into all these different groups. Bad haircuts, too, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I have little excuse for mass crowds rioting. You know, unless it's storming the Bastille or storming Frankenstein's castle, I don't see much fun in it. I don't see a purpose in it. I like select, specific targeting. This mass mob thing, you can't control a mob. People are just generally too stupid if they're unguided. If they're out there just for fun or just to get a TV, I don't want to be around them. You know, you don't see white Christians rioting in the streets because of Proposition 8 and then suddenly turning into a mob that raids a dress shop or something. It just doesn't happen. So I avoid those kind of things. I avoid those places and I stay out of them. I don't like being in crowds. Sunday, yesterday, I went to a friend's church and it was like 3,000 people in this church. And it was like this big harvest festival barbecue thing. And I'm not knocking it, but it's not something I went to go check it out to see what it was like. I'm just not crazy about big churches. And I just, in that crowd the whole time, I'm just like thinking, threat, 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 threat. Okay, here's an avenue. Let's get out of here. It's like we came up with the term dynamic exit. You know, we practice dynamic entries all the time. And just instead, this time we were doing dynamic exit from about 3,000. It was about 3,000 people, I would say. It was packed. And, you know, nice church, Baptist church, and, you know, all these really lovely soccer moms and NASCAR dads and bounce house. Yeah, very cookie-cutter church. But that, I guess that's what society looks like now. I pulled myself out of it, and I don't see it anymore. So we did a Reformation Day. We came up here to church, and we had a 1600s period-type meal, which was very good this year. It was vegetable soup and beef and cheese and bread and by candlelight. And Lou was all offended because the, what was it you said?
What?
The grog was just water in a paper cup.
In a Dixie cup.
In a Dixie cup. Lou was like, finally, I'm going to get me some grog. I'm 15. And it's just weird. So we focused on John Wesley, Charles Wesley, his early years. We watched a film. We discussed their input. I don't think he means that word, Lou, in the chat room. Not surfing bird. I think he's asking about the word. In the big church, I think you're asking Navy Davy. I didn't see an altar call or anything that I noticed. They asked. No, they did do an altar call.
I know.
They did. They said anybody who's here today, that's, you know, but it was okay. I still don't even remember what the sermon was about.
Being a bubble.
Your life is just a bubble, and it only exists for a little bit. I mean, I talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, our life is just a moment in eternity. So, but
it's pretty depressing. Like, you're not capable of doing anything great for the cause of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I wasn't moved. When we come back, we'll talk about some other stuff. I got a few things to share with you, and who knows where it's going to go. I'll give out the phone number. I've got people saying they want to call. I'll give out the phone number when I come back. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones radio program, dutchjones.info, if you want to check more out about us. dutchjones.info. We'll be back after this break.
Form of foreign immigrants who don't care about the population.
It is time to organize. It's a time of war, and it's time to revolt, and it's your time to show we are a people of a struggle. Hasta San Diego.
We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in the great United States.
You have to enforce that with all.
It's high time we remember.
Too many white gangs. We couldn't stop you. Too many blue eyes.
We are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
is going to take over all the political institutions of California. In 5 years, the Hispanics are going to be the majority population of the state.
You also made the statement that California is going to become a Hispanic state, and that if anyone doesn't like it, they should leave. Did you say that?
I did.
They ought to go back to Europe.
And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late.
Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
Go back to England, you fucking redneck. Go back to England.
And get a grip on the immigration in these great United States.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
The truth shall set your nappy head free.
What was... Who was that?
I am James David Manning.
Oh, Pastor Manning. I love Pastor Manning. He's the one that wants to go slap the Mac Daddy around, huh?
That's right.
You don't have that on there, do you, where he's threatening to beat up Mac Daddy Obongo?
No.
Okay. Didn't he say he was going to beat him all the way back to the womb or something? Don't you have...
I'm going to beat you all the way back to your mama's womb until she hollers to get rid of you.
I love it when he said that about President Obongo.
Oh, yeah!
Long-legged Mac Daddy. See, he can say it because he's a brother. If I said those things on here, well, nothing would probably happen to me because only, you know, people who listen to me like that kind of stuff.
Don't lie to yourself.
They have a sense of humor. They know that if you make jokes about stuff like that, you're not a racist. Yeah, did you get that one, Lou? White people gonna rise up. No. Is that one on there? Yeah. Don't play any of the N-word ones, Lou. You know what happened last time. Bill Cosby called that. And complained. Yeah, I know. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. Welcome, everyone. I see Mary's in there. Haven't seen you for a while. Welcome, Mary. Scotty's in there. Olima, Minuteman, Navy Davy. We got a bunch of guests. My lovely wife is in there. She's not feeling well. She's downstairs in the cottage. And so she's hiding so she didn't get anybody sick today. And me, Lou, and Debbie are sitting up here in the research center. Gunslinger just popped in. Welcome, Gunslinger. And, of course, Batfag, if I didn't mention him. We know he's in there. Let's see. I've got give out the phone number, 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. I've got someone I know who wants to call. You can go ahead and call in when you like, and we'll put you right on the air. And so take turns. A couple people want to call. We can talk about anything you like. Just keep it decent. There is no delay. The delay is me just hitting the "I'm not here" button, and hopefully nobody will know. So we're coming back here. We talk about just about anything we like here that concerns the holy cause of liberty. Somewhat politics. I talked a little bit of politics in the opening half hour. I'm not crazy about it. I'm getting received over 200 emails again in the last 3 or 4 days on who you're going to vote for, what are you going to do. Let me tell you something here, and this disappointed a lot of people. I'm not into the vote. I'd vote locally if there were Christian people to vote for. I'd vote nationally if there were Christian people to vote for. Batpack says he's going to write in Jesus Christ. That might even be worth it. But when there was righteous people to vote for, I vote for them. And it's just what I'm going to do, you know. And if there's a Christian dog catcher, I'll vote for him. If there's a Christian county board of supervisor, I'll vote for him. But usually when you talk to them, you find out they're not really Christian. They go to some mega church and they press the flesh. The church I went to yesterday, the mayor, chief of police, and the DA for the city all went there. And everybody was bragging about that. Oh, look, that's the mayor right over there. Wow. Yeah, I'll remember to go over and kiss his ring if I get a chance.
Has a mayor?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a female, in fact. But I just don't get into that stuff. Tonight is our town hall meeting for an unincorporated community, and that's what I'll go to. Okay, hopefully this will work. It's not going to matter, Lou. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, who do we have, and what do you want to talk about, brother?
Hey, this is Darren. How you doing this evening?
Pretty good. Darren, one of our Facebook friends?
Yeah, man. Out there just kind of slinging around the news, and once in a while, I don't know about you, but once in a while we have to slap around a baby truther and try to, you know, straighten them up and say,
sure.
What are you saying here?
I'm a broad perspective kind of person.
Right.
So I'm always trying to just share a little bit of knowledge, spread some seeds, and if it lands on hard rock, so be it. If it lands on fertile soil, so be it.
Exactly. You know, I'll say this before I get on to what I wanted to call about. Some of those people that, I'll just friend them. I have no idea who these people are. I'll just friend them. And they'll accept my friendship, and I'll throw a couple things on.
Sure.
And within a week or two, they're starting to post stuff also. Amazing. It's amazing. So, you know, one I've been noticing in the last 2 weeks, and I just wanted to see maybe you or your listeners have found this also, the media is changing their tune again, and they're trying to move toward us in ways because they know their grip is slipping.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Quaid, have you seen this video yet?
No, I haven't seen any video. I've been following the story, though, with much amusement.
Dennis Quaid came out sometime recently and has said that people are trying to kill him.
Yep.
and Hollywood Whackers or something like that. Star Whackers.
Right.
And, you know, when I first heard that he was in a hotel room and couldn't pay for the room, I thought to myself, that doesn't seem right. Here's a guy who's doing mainstream films, you know, Independence Day. I'm sure he...
Vacation. He should have some residuals from that alone.
Exactly, exactly. This does not add up. Okay, maybe the man's got an addiction problem or something, and he's just kind of, you know... But he came clear today, and I give this man credit for standing up and saying, okay, we have a problem in Hollywood, and I'm a victim of it.
Good.
That took a lot of Quinones to do that today.
Now, what did he claim was the problem today? Because before he just kind of alluded to it. Did he come right out and say what he was doing?
Yes. He said his lawyer is stealing his money, and there is a collusion of people in Hollywood that go around and they destroy you.
Right.
They take your money, they destroy your credibility, and then they make you die.
Yeah.
And he listed a few people in Hollywood who were having this done to them. And
well, there's been a long history of the kosher mafia and the sodomite mafia, and it pops up every once in a while, but people are afraid to talk about it. And they do. They destroy, they wring them dry, and then throw them to the curb, and then they always end up dead in some suspicious way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, I'm noticing two politicians came forward this week, and I guess they're trying to make up for the lies that they told us. We didn't believe them.
Yeah.
Ridge wrote a book and said, the devil made me do it. The Bush family made me declare these threats during election season.
I know, and they bail out and they wait several years before they come clean. If they were real righteous men, they would have screamed the alarm as soon as it happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These guys will not get a free pass. Tom Ridge, you will stand trial.
Oh yeah, there's a big list of these guys. Rove, all of them. All these guys, I keep telling people, oh, somebody else just got on my list. What do you mean, a hit list? I said, no. When the war crimes trials begin, after we win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Baird is another one. He quit or he's resigning. He's not running for another term.
Okay.
The unions were forcing me to vote for this. I don't think so, pal. Treason is treason.
Yeah, you don't have a gimme.
Exactly. Not on this one.
Right.
And then the last thing, and then I'll go.
Sure.
Volusia County Sheriff made an arrest. Now.
What state is that, for those of us that aren't geographically gifted?
Yes. It is in northern Florida. It is okay. Daytona Beach.
Right.
Now,
okay.
Daytona Beach is redneck in a very special way. As a motorcycle rider that ever went to bike...
Yeah, I've seen it on the History Channel.
Yeah, whatever that bike thing is, I should know. They get there and they say, honey, Florida's wonderful. We should move here. So what you have there is all these bikers all over the country went there once and decided to move there.
Yeah.
And so there's a ton of bikers that just ride around there. Anyway, the police there are ruthless. The chief of police was telling his officers, get a cotton swab. Now, it's in the middle of the night. You got the lights going. The guy comes to your door. He's a thug. You know he's a thug. And he's got a gun. And he says to you, you don't mind if I get a swab of your cheek, do you?
Yeah, DNA. Forcible DNA collection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I called up Chief Sheriff Chitwood. And
great name.
I told him. I said, I think I'm going to start to press charges against you.
Oh man!
Back from him right away.
Yeah.
You can't do that to me. I think I can, sir.
Yeah, citizen's arrest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I think this. I called the sheriff's office yesterday, and he wasn't in. Obviously, it's Sunday. He wasn't in the office, but I spoke to somebody. And I was kind of just asking, you know, hey, I'm a blogger. I'm writing. Is this a new, is he turning a new leaf in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he just, you know, he was bored. coffee and donuts wasn't cutting it for him this day, and maybe had a little too much coffee and went out and arrested this guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's up? And, well, you're going to have to talk to, so I'm going to call back tomorrow.
Yeah, keep up the pressure.
I totally will, and I'm just going to let this guy know, hey, if you're thinking you're going to get a, you know, oh, we're going to, you know, applaud you and thank you and love you when we win, no.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, it's going to be like when Mussolini fell. They went and started dragging him through the streets, all the collaborators, you know, same thing in France, you know, it's going to happen.
Yep.
We have a long memory and we keep good lists.
I'm talking to a lot of people out here.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah, it's nice to see the masses waking up slowly, but there's some hardcore people that are going to hold grudges. They've been at this a long time. And those are the ones that I'm trying to rally, the sheepdogs. So it's nice to see. And people are starting to realize, hey, they took my house. They didn't have the legal right. I'm like, you're right. Yeah, so it's exactly the point that we should be focusing on, keeping track of all this unjust, unbiblical, unconstitutional crime so that when our day of justice comes, we can take them to justice.
You know, I want to encourage your listeners, call a sheriff's department. Find somebody in the news, pick up the phone. It's 500 miles away. You know, be nice to them.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them, what are you doing?
Yeah. Give the county again and the sheriff's name.
Oh, that was Volusia County. And I have it up on my website, rescueliberty.com.
Rescueliberty.com, folks. Go check it out.
Yeah. Let's see. It's at the page. Gary, contacts Gary Davidson, Christopher Kelly, assistant state attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the sheriff's name here.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Just say the sheriff. They'll know. You know, it's just like, here, I always forget Sheriff Whitman's name here, so I just say the sheriff, the elected stooge, the bureaucrat with the gun.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for calling in. It's good to hear your voice to put it with the post you've been making.
Yeah, man. Keep up.
Keep up the good work. Thanks, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless. From our Facebook side. If you're not on Facebook, you know, a lot of people don't like to get involved in that stuff. I'm not using it for posting what I'm doing every 5 minutes. I'm not one of those idiots. I post news articles, what we're going to talk about, and these are the connections I'm making. These guys, like Mary, I think I met Mary on there, who's in the chat room now. We've got over almost 600 people on Facebook, and I'd say about half of them listen to the show. The other half, I probably offend them, or they're just learning. And that's the way it goes. There's a high turnover. You guys know that. So it's good. That point on the sheriff is excellent. You guys hear, if you've been listening for a while, you know about our interactions with the sheriff. We've walked right up to him and just boldly in his face said, how do you feel about the Second Amendment? How do you feel about the militia? And if there's people around, he's like, blah, 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 blah. But then he'll pull aside, oh, I'm totally with you guys. But, you know, I'll lose my federal funding. We're like, yeah, whatever. We're going to run our pastor next time, actually. We had an elders meeting, and we decided the pastor's going to run. And then maybe then he can give me a pardon or something for all the things I'm accused of doing, and I don't have to, you know, have to dress up like an Arab woman to get out of the church property. You know, that'd be nice. I wonder if he'd do that for me. You know, what happens when one of your own becomes sheriff? Do we get to take over? No, I'm just kidding. We're not like them. We don't do it that way. That was a great call. Remember, you can call in about anything you want to, as long as it isn't obscene. You want to call up and, you know, and have me play Dr. Laura? I can do that. You want to be Dr. Phil? I can do that, too. I prefer Dr. Phil over Dr. Laura. Either one of them make me sick. But the phone number is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. And it fit perfectly in there with what I was talking about with the local link in the chain of governance is the most important. And the highest official, really, elected law enforcement official, is the county sheriff. And we all know how we feel about Richard Mack here. Yeah, I know he's a Mormon dude. We differ theologically, but he's got it down. You know, in his book, The Last Hope for America is the County Sheriff. I wouldn't say it's the last hope. Jesus Christ is the last hope. But in the flesh, I tend to agree with them. If we could get some really good sheriffs elected and get them in there and get them educated, or educate the ones you currently have. I don't know how many copies of Richard Mack's book that poor sheriff got, but I gave him one. The pastor gave him one. Richard Mack sent him one when I told him about him. Minuteman's asking if he can vote for pastor. Just get a post office box up here and get an absentee ballot. Vote often and early. Dude, be like the Democrats, Minuteman. Why not? Why shouldn't we be like them? I mean, how many dead illegal aliens vote all the time here? And under the election, I don't spend a whole lot of time. I think tomorrow maybe, you know, if you guys want to, you know, we may stay on extended tomorrow night and just report on national stuff, because we'll have the computers. We won't have TVs. Maybe you guys could call in and tell us some of the weird stuff that's going on in your areas as far as corruption and the machines. But here, the thing to watch here in this state is we're in a no-win situation. Nightingale is the third-party candidate that's running, and she's a constitutionalist for governor. Everybody here voted for her, or is going to vote tomorrow. Are you working the polls tomorrow?
Yep.
You are? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Maybe I should come down there and do a live radio show from the polls and violate election law and all that kind of stuff.
I don't know.
Yeah, they close at 8 tomorrow Pacific time. But we've got Governor Moonbeam, who's pretty much by all polls is a shoo-in. So we're going to become a communist state as soon as he's sworn in. So that means all heck's going to hit, you know, just the poop's going to hit the fan. Which I think is a good thing, actually. I mean, if we can't have a true constitutionalist in, let's have the most vicious, vile hippie we can find. And so right now I'm pulling for Governor Moonbeam, for those of you who don't know, Brown. And that way, you know, one, maybe he'll boost my VA state benefits and I'll use that money to buy more guns. And two, he'll drive this state into the ground even faster. Because every day we get closer to the collapse is one day closer to our ability to establish our own Christian-based nation, right, guys? We've got some elections here. Boxer, of course, is on, people have a target on Boxer, and that's running head-to-head. Speaking of pot smoker Brown, they're also talking about legalizing marijuana here. This state is just a basket of problems right now. The attorney generals that are running are freaks. We've got a Garrett Newsom. Anyway, the faggot that's the mayor of San Francisco is running for assistant governor, whatever they want to call him. What do they call him? What's the assistant governor's position here? Lieutenant governor. And the way they run it here is they do it like they used to do the United States president. You know, they have separate elections, or the runner-up. But here they have separate elections. And so we're going to get a sodomite for lieutenant governor, a communist for a governor. It's going to get real fun here real fast. And hopefully these soccer moms and NASCAR dads will start getting angry and going after these people. Yeah, I don't know what's worse, California, Massachusetts, or New York. You know, if you've got a state out there I don't know about the politics, which is obvious that I don't know every state's politics, you know, maybe tomorrow night's the night to call in and go, hey, you wouldn't believe what just won here. Or, you know, the Black Panthers are down here at my corner, you know, get me some pictures and send them in, and we'll put them up on the internet. You know, we'll have some fun with it. When I used to work in local radio, local TV, I've always done... Thank you. I just got a ballot put in my hand. I've done live stuff all the time. All the time. So I have no problem with staying up late tomorrow night and just talking about this politics stuff. I don't normally talk politics, but I am very amused at the whole Tea Party factor. You know, it's been completely... What's the word I'm looking for? Hijacked by the Republicrats. I love it. The violence that's erupting there, they're stomping on old ladies' heads. What's up with that? You know, it's just the whole Tea Party thing is going... If you were listening to me when it first started and I told you where I thought it was going to go, tell me I'm wrong. The Tea Party did exactly what I thought it would do. It became a bowl of honey for the Republicans to keep discontent people from screaming too much. You know, and they're not really going after the Republicrats too much. So it was pretty good there. I've got this whole thing in front of me here. The Democrats are going to sweep here in California. And the economy that was handed to them by Herr Fuhrer, Schwarzenegger, is just going to collapse. And we're headed one more step down into total chaos here, which in our favor, it works in our favor, because somebody has to fill that vacuum, and let it be a righteous Christian soldier. Leader, I don't know who he's going to be, but let the army of Christ fill that void. And I'm not trying to save all the California people. I don't care if it breaks up. My brothers and sisters, Minuteman down there in Southern California, the San Diego militia that just recontacted with us after about a year of kind of hiding for a while. What was that guy's name? Dane? Dane, I know you're listening. I know you're probably listening there as a guest. I feel for you, and I understand that you want a garrison and you want to fight down there. But we here in Central California are going to pull our own weight, and we're going to make ourselves the breadbasket. We'll trade with you. We're going to lay siege to San Francisco. One of the things that I was looking at today was San Francisco's water supply. It is shakier than Mel Gibson on New Year's Eve trying to walk a line for the Beverly Hills PD. They don't have any water, and it's all easily controlled. We will lay siege to San Francisco. We will lay siege to Sacramento. We will seize the ports. We will seize the riverways. We will control the food, the water. And we'll trade with you guys if you can establish your own nations down there. And yes, Batbag saying these people prefer a wicked leader in the state as a whole. But those are the cities. Those are the coastal regions. Those of us in the mountains and in the flatlands, where the food is being grown, where the people are just working, we don't want that. And even the cardboard box Christians, I'm going to give it to them too. The generic Christians, they don't like what's going on. They don't like babies being killed. They don't like sodomite, faggot, communist governors either. But they've been told that that's the only way it is. But as this state falls apart, this is a nation. California is a nation. It's a republic. Right now it's going to become a people's republic. But maybe we can be an example to the other states. I honestly believe that's why I'm still here. Lou, please stop doing that. Lou's doing like weird flexing things. He's trying to show off his pecs or something. Should I turn the camera on?
No.
Stop doing that. It's distracting, man. I can't help it. In my peripheral vision, you're going, oh, yeah, beefcake.
No, I'm not.
But I think it's going to start here. I really do. I mean, where else is it more volatile? You know, Massachusetts is volatile, but there just aren't the people there. And you don't have the influx of the crime rate that we do in California. Say what you will about Massachusetts, but our crime rate here in California is much worse than the rest of you. Look what they're typing about you.
I'm stretching my arm.
We just, I think this is the powder keg here. I really do. I think it's California, at least Southwest. And I think we have the resources and the numbers to fight back. We've got the military bases here full of oath keepers. We've got farmers. We've got good old... We got rednecks here in California. I'm a redneck. I'm not from here, but there are people that are born and raised here that are rednecks, folks. Well, that first hour went by fast. We're going to get picked up by Liberty Tree Radio here in a minute. We're going to talk more about articles in the news, whatever you want to talk about. We gotta just get focused here. Maybe I went a little astray, but I'm having fun talking to you guys on a Monday. We'll be back after the break. I'm not a communist, and neither should you be, but our governor will be. Watch.
Departments have been busy night and day. They are figuring out just how we gave our secret soul away. And Congress has appointed a committee, so they said, to find out who's American and who's a low-down red. They call him up to Washington to speak for Uncle Sam. But when they ask them what they are, they shut up like a clam. I wish they'd take and put me on the witness stand today. I'd shout so loud old Stalin could hear me all the way. I'm no communist, I'll tell you that right now. I believe a man should own his own house and car and cow. I like this private ownership, I want to be left alone. Let the government run its business and let me run my own. Our government is bigger than it ever was today. The more they hire to work for it, the more they have to pay. Our public servants should be proud and honest, you would think, instead of taking bribes and dressing up their wives and men. The taxes keep on going up, of that there is no doubt, but still they just can't take it in as fast as they dish it out. Our national debt is monster size and growing every day. Our children's children still unborn are gonna have to pay. Our dollar used to be the soundest money on this earth, but now $2 won't even buy one good dollar's worth. Unless we stop inflation and take care of what we've got, the communists may win
the fight and never fire a shot. Oh, I'm no communist, I'll tell you that right now. I believe a man should own his own house and car and cow. I like this private ownership, I want to be left alone. Let the government run its business and let me run my own.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
You gotta kill me. That's what you gotta do. Because if you don't kill me, I'm gonna kill you.
Pastor Manning. Just putting it down. Hey, Stacy walked in. How you feeling, baby? Stacy came up. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live Monday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. here on Liberty Tree Radio. However, we do a two-hour show, and if you want to catch the first hour, you can go to the archives at dutchjones.info, Dutch Jones, J-O-E-N-S.info. And right now, we just finished up an hour over on You Broadcast, and we're picked up, and we're happy to be here sharing the good word with the Liberty Tree Radio guys. And if you're one of my listeners from Facebook or one of the other places and you haven't checked out Liberty Tree Radio, you can do so by going to www.libertytreeradio.4mg.com. I encourage you to go check it out, because if you like my show, you're going to love what they run 24 hours a day and their music and all that kind of stuff. They got some great stuff over there. We're running their intelligence report right now, aren't we, Lou?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad he said yeah. That would have been sad if he said no. It made me look really stupid. But we bring you the Christian militant worldview from the little hamlet of Cahuilla. We're a commonwealth in the belly button of Central California in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. And we're right outside Sequoia National Park. And we want to be our own state. We want to separate from California. And we're talking about this election that's coming up. I don't normally talk politics, but tonight and tomorrow night, maybe we'll give you some of the returns as people call in. And we're offering our phone for you to call and cry, to report fraud, to report whatever you want. Get it out there, especially on the second hour, because we'll be on Liberty Tree Radio for an hour. And it'll go out to even a much larger audience. So if you got a bunch of Black Panthers standing out in front of your polling place, we want to know about it. But take a picture. You know, take a picture and email it to us, and we'll put it up on the website. We'll put it out through our Facebook outlet where we got a, in fact, I got lots of people contacting me on Facebook here. The election's a mess. We, for those of you that want to complain, here in California, the only thing that looks good is we may be getting rid of Boxer for the rest of you. Now, the lady that's running against her, I always forget her name. It's on here somewhere. I got to find it here in front of me. Ferrajola or something like that. I don't know anything about her, but I know she's not boxer. But they're head-to-head right now. So maybe you guys will get, you know, will actually have an effect on you. But the rest of it, you know, we're losing Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's termed out, and right now it looks like we're going to get a hippie communist by the name of Jerry Brown, a governor so bad they're bringing him back for a second term years later. And his lieutenant governor, it looks like, is going to be Gavin Newsom, the sodomite mayor of San Francisco. I've been checking the polling, so you think you got it bad. We're going to get a communist and a faggot to run our state. But I'm here to tell you, that just brings on the crisis a little quicker. I got all kinds of comments here.
They don't research the candidate.
Well, they do research the candidate, Stacy, and they're choosing evil. You got to remember where we live. The city states in California are predominantly communist. They're not all rednecks like us living out in the country. Yeah, all the dead people that vote here in California and the illegal aliens. They got illegal aliens going door to door. Shauna Ford just accepted my request. She's the woman behind the wire. I'll talk about that later. That's good. Maybe we can get her on. Maybe we can get one of her representatives on the air. It's about time. It's been like 2 weeks since I did that show. Anyway, but in the chat room, I saw something that was posted that makes all the sense in the world. Come on. And it was posted by Scotty38, who is one of our broadcast affiliates in the Finger Lakes region of New York State. To all those listening on Channel 2 AMCB, I'd like to welcome you, and thank you. Yeah, we are seceding. We're already. I'm a seditionist, and I'm a secessionist. I admit it full-heartedly. But when I was talking before the break, I was talking about all these evil politicians that are coming in, and this is what Scotty posted, and I was looking for a Bible verse to start out, and this one's better than the one I picked. This is Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's Isaiah 41:10. That is such a great, great verse. And it goes, yeah, that's why I don't have any fear in this. People are like, how can you make jokes about a sodomite and a communist taking over your state after tomorrow? Well, I think the more we get dipped into the testing fire, the sooner we're going to burn off all the chaff, and what's going to be left is pure silver. And that's going to be righteous men and women who are willing to fight. I look at this punishment, this chastisement from God, as a way of getting rid of the sheep. I really do. Separating the goats from the sheep, I guess is another way of putting it. There's so many mixed metaphors here and parables, but I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid of this at all. I'd prefer Nightingale to win, the constitutionalist. I really do, and we encouraged everybody here to vote for. We even got Stacy's mother, hopefully, to vote for tomorrow. The rest of everybody up here voted absentee ballot or whatever. I may go in and demand a vote. I don't know. I may vote like 4 or 5 times tomorrow. I'm going to dress up and say that I'm a citizen of a foreign country and I demand a vote. So I'm not, you know, California, we've got, you know, all kinds of stuff going on here. We've got that, the carbon emissions thing that's going on right now where they imposed all these taxes on us here. Well, now there's a referendum to get rid of that. And the problem was when they wrote it into the ballot, they wrote it wrong, and it's unconstitutional. So even if people vote on it tomorrow and say, yeah, we don't want these additional carbon taxes in California, they're going to shoot it down. I mean, it's just a farce, the junk that's going on here in California. And I know it's going on in your states. I just don't have the time to read your state's problems. And unless you tell me about them, I'm not going to know about them. So tomorrow night, I want to know. I want to know how many dead people vote. I want to know how many busloads of homeless people they take from the inner city to come vote in your district. I want to know those kind of things if they're going on. Call up here to the Dutch Jones Show and say, hey, seeing this, we're seeing that. Oh, wow, there's a guy named Jones running for insurance commissioner. Wrong, he spells it wrong, though. He's got my same name. It's not Dutch, but it's my same first name. Let's see. Yeah, Gavin Newsom, mayor, city, and county of San Francisco, Democrat. It should say sodomite, too. And, of course, the Republican who's in there now, Abel Maldonado, he's not going to win. Let's see. The Green Party's got a guy, Peace and Freedom. The American Independent guy, Jim King, I've actually met him, and he freaks me out. Unfortunately, the American Independent Party in California is a joke. It's not like the American – we couldn't get the Constitution Party here on the ballot because of some loophole in the law. So, you know, the guy that's running is not representing us. In fact, our pastor, who was the chaplain of the American Independent Party, quit because this guy got nominated for governor. And we should have run our pastor, but I wasn't, you know me, I'm not that political. I'm more reactionary. I like to look at the effects of, oh, you want to look at the ballot? There you go. But so tomorrow we'll be doing that. We'll go on at 5, and if things get hairy and good, you know, I'll stay on and you broadcast even later if you guys want to tune in and check that out. I think it's important that we talk about it. One of the things I wanted to talk about today is I got a lot of email from people saying, I really like your last 4 or 5 shows. You're really hitting it good. You're talking about the gospel. You're talking about preparation. You're hitting me with history. And I like that kind of feedback. And they're asking, but I'm also seeing a lot of people panicking again. I'm not trying to get you to panic. Panic is not a useful emotion, folks. Panic is not a useful emotion. What you need to do is turn that panic into focus. I got 4 people today that said, that's great. One guy said, I'm in a wheelchair. I got one arm that works. What do I do? And, you know, I thought for a moment, and I thought, well, your brain obviously works because I've read some of the stuff you're posting. He goes, oh, yes, I've studied warfare. I'm a statistician. I said, you have a place in the cause, brother. You have a place in the cause. And he's on some kind of disability. I said, just dedicate a little bit of money every month to food. Get your 5-gallon buckets. Get your 5-gallon buckets and start putting pasta and oatmeal in them. If that's all you can save is pasta, oatmeal, and some canned food, do a little bit every week. So don't panic. And I didn't mean to panic those folks out there that think that they're in a much worse situation than they are. Unless you're in a coma, which I don't know how you'd be listening to the show unless they're using it for some therapeutic process. You know, I'm trying to talk people out of comas, which might work. You can fight back and you can prepare. Even if it's just taking your old plastic milk jugs, rinsing them out, taking your old soda bottles, rinsing them out, filling them with water and sticking them in your freezer. Or sticking them under the counter. Because I got a list of 10 cities that they're thinking by 2014 aren't going to have enough water to sustain everybody at the same time. And they're going to, instead of brownouts, they're going to be blueouts. And people aren't going to get water. Now, that's just 2 to 3 years down the line. 2 to 3 years down the line. But there's stuff that could happen tomorrow. You could have an earthquake tomorrow. So get yourself prepared in baby steps. Don't panic. Don't think... And I'm not where I want to be. None of us are where we want to be. I don't have every weapon that I think we need for what we're doing here. We don't have every backpack. We definitely don't have every vehicle, and we don't have the food that I wish we had. I've got Mormon friends that have got 2-3 years' supply of food, and I look at them and go, wow, I wish I had that. So us with 3 to 6 months of food, depending on how much Lewis is eating,
hey.
You know, you need the process to become your goal. I keep saying that. The process needs to become your goal. It's just like art. You're never finished with a work of art. You just abandon it and present it to the world. The process of prepping, you should never be finished with it, ever. It should be the process that is your goal. So that's, but you've got to be organized in it. Look at what you need and the basic things. If you have nothing at all, water, food, transportation, weapons. And those can change in order. That's not necessarily the order. A weapon may be the primary thing. A weapon may be the primary thing just to get out of Dodge. I had somebody that really liked what I posted today on that kind of stuff and said, we're already poor. We live in the mountains. We already have to hunt for our game. We already use the stream and the snowbanks to freeze our food. There we go.
They're
sick. Yeah. So, you know, they're there. Stacy and I are so poor and so destitute, we don't have far to fall when the economy falls, and we're going to have a pretty soft landing because we're going to fall on a bunch of packages of ramen that we've been stashing. Right, Stace?
Yep.
Noodles, ramen, whatever you can. Bags of flour, rice, beans. Lou's become a lentil man. He wants to buy as many lentils as he can. But these 5-gallon buckets are a way to go. You can get a lot of stuff in a 5-gallon bucket. My friend Minuteman here showed us this. It was a larger ammo can, one of the bigger, narrow ammo cans. He had like enough food for 30 days in one ammo can. That's it. So just, and Olima, I'm glad you like that because I really want that to become a motto. Let the process become your goal. It's just like being a Christian. You're never done. You never say, oh, I was baptized. I accepted the Lord into my heart. I can sit back now. No, there's a process. You start to grow in that process. Think of being a prepper or a survivalist or whatever you want to call yourself, a militia member. you have to, it has to be a lifestyle choice for you. And how do you become how does something become a hobby or a lifestyle? It doesn't happen overnight. You gradually get into it. Go to your library and start reading Mother Earth News. I know it's a hippie mag. A lot of survival info in there. A lot of survival in there. So they want me to make that our banner, Lou, on the website. Let the process become your goal. I came up with another one today arguing with somebody. It said, thinking you're never going to fail is pretty good evidence that you're about to fail. And, you know, I know we as Christians, we're supposed to have faith that everything's going to work. But our plans fail, not the Lord's plan.
Yeah.
And the Lord isn't always on board with our plans. So the minute you start thinking you're not going to fail, you're about to fail in one way or another. And so you've got to balance that. Because there are people that go the other way. They're super spiritual Christians, and they're like, well, the Lord's going to provide everything I need. Really? You're going to be out there eating grass. And there are stories where that happened, where kings go out and eat grass for a time, and they survive. So you've got to find that balance. It's a path that you walk, that the course changes. You're going to stumble. You're going to trip. But don't be so arrogant that you think you're never going to fail. But don't be so panicked that you think it's not worth even trying. I don't care if you go to the dollar store and get a bag of Band-Aids, a bag of black-eyed peas or beans or whatever, and some cans, and you spend $5 a week, and you put it in your 5-gallon bucket. And then you get another 5-gallon bucket for the things you already have that you can put in there. An extra pair of pants, an extra pair of socks, a couple pairs of socks, a good pair of underwear, a good shirt, maybe some tennis shoes if you have extra ones. And put those in the bucket, pack them in there really good, the best you can. Then above that, you put your hygiene items. And you put whatever you have in there. You don't go buy new stuff. You sacrifice a little. Now, I know people out there that take showers two times a day. Really? Do you stink that bad? Unless you work in a manure factory, take a shower once a day or every other day and save that shampoo. Put it in a small bottle. Do something with it. You're going to need it later, and it's going to feel much better. 30 days after the water's cut off, and you're boiling your water on a stove to have those things. Skim. We already live in a life of excess. I mean, even hobos waste.
Yeah.
And that extra that you waste can be put away for a rainy day, a disaster. A night of the long knives, another crystal knock when they come looking for us. We have to be like the ant and put away a little each day. So don't panic. And that was not my intention. And I knew there would be a couple, and it wasn't like everybody, but there was a handful of people that were like, there's absolutely nothing I can do. I'm a student. I've been off work for 3 months. Okay, this next one's probably going to offend some people. I do it. I'm here to tell you, this next thing I'm going to give you, I do. I go to the food banks and get food. I use fake names. I fill out their paperwork. I make up an address, and I get a box of food once a month or twice a month. We go through it, the stuff that's perishable. We eat, we share with other people. But the long storage stuff goes in our buckets, goes in our 55-gallon drum. There is no shame in being wise and using every resource the enemy has to offer. We're at war, people. And if that means you're eligible for food stamps, and a lot of people are going to get mad at me for this, but I'm not going to budge on this. It's my money that they stole from me. It's your money that they've stolen from you. Why not get some of it back? Here in California, a single woman with a kid can get as much as $350 a month in food stamps. It's on a debit card or something. I went and looked it up. So why not go do that if you're eligible for it? If you're a single person. I know a guy that got out of prison. He was in there for several years for bank robbery. Got out of prison, and they gave him a food stamp card. $150 a month for food stamps. If a prisoner is going to get it, why don't you get it? If you can get a cash aid from something, I don't care if it's county, welfare, whatever, an art grant, get it. Be creative. Find the resources. I'm telling you right now, if I could get money from welfare, and I say, let's say I got $500 a month. Every month I'd go buy $500 worth of ammo or supplies, period. I take money from the VA. For me, that was the deal. That was part of the enlistment. But I have no shame in that. And if you think I should have shame in that, stay away from me, because you're not, you don't have a combat mindset. That's like saying, oh, I will not take ammo off the enemy. That's just not righteous. Oh, I will not. I will not take food off the enemy soldiers. I will not raid their supply lines for bananas. They're not American bananas. I shan't eat them.
Well,
then go ahead and starve. Go ahead and have no ammo. Go ahead and do a bayonet charge. Because you didn't want to take advantage of everything the Lord's putting in your way. So you've got to be smart here. Little things have a big effect down the line. Blankets. How many times you go to secondhand stores, you see blankets everywhere. And every once in a while, like the one we go to, it's like, blankets, $1. If you got $3 in your pocket, buy 3 blankets.
Yeah.
Sleeping bags. I don't care if that sleeping bag is, you know, plaid. You buy it. Because you can go over to Walmart, and for a couple bucks, you can get green dye and dye it. I don't know if you can dye red plaid. I don't know. But if you've got something that's weird, you know, get it. Don't disregard anything, any option. If you've got place to store stuff and you see somebody throwing away sheet metal, find a truck, rent a truck, go get it. Anything is worth saving. You know those plastic bags that you get at the grocery store everybody hates? Stash them. They're not just good for carrying, which is their obvious thing. Melt them down. Make stuff out of them. And if you've seen The Killing Fields, you'll see another use for them. I'm just kidding. You remember that movie about Cambodia and Kampuchea when they would put the Kmart bag over the heads of the... Anyway. saves you a bullet. Let's just put it that way. But anyway, save them. There's so much you can do. I've learned so much from listening to other people. You know, just their little tidbits and things that their grannies told them, their grandparents told them. Don't panic. And if you can't use it, take it anyway and find a way to trade it. I've had people approach me and say, hey, you know, I got 55-gallon drums. Well, I've got enough of them, but I know people that need them. So I'm like, sure, bring them up. And then I get rid of them a week later, trade them for something. If people give me something, I follow the Native American rule, good trade. You know, I'll give them something, even if it's a meal. But if somebody brings me something, I'm going to trade them. But also look at maybe getting ahead a little bit, especially if you're behind the eight ball right now. Don't be ashamed to get ahead. Don't be ashamed. You find a resource. Like I remember one time I found a guy. It was at Leprino Foods. They were doing everything they could to get rid of these big blue 30-gallon barrels that had dairy products in them. And they couldn't reuse them by law. And they had to get rid of them, and it cost them to get rid of them. Every week he was bringing me 5 of them. Every week. And I'd stash them up. I put out a sign and started selling them for $15 a piece. Then he stopped bringing them to me, and he started doing that on his lawn. But You get the point. Everything has a value. It's just a matter of whether or not you can optimize it. So it's funny. I look and I see oatmeal. Buy as much oatmeal as you can. I can live on oatmeal 3 meals a day. Sometimes it's just basic survival is all you're going to do. Sure, you can't afford to go buy all the freeze-dried food. So maybe you just buy some basic food that lasts a year. And then you eat it when the year's up and you replace it with new stuff if this continues on. Don't panic. Just like the Bible verse at the beginning, do not fear. The Lord's with us on this. But don't let the pendulum go the other way where you're figuring, okay, I'm going to sit on my hands and the Lord's going to do everything for me. You know, I don't want you when this goes, because I probably won't have contact with any of you ever again when they pull the internet and even if I'm doing shortwave, it'll be one-way communications. I want to know that I've at least given you guys some basic ideas to get you motivated. And take that away from this show. If you take nothing else, just take this attitude that survival at all costs, you know, short of cannibalism, do what it takes now so your children don't have to suffer later. And even if all you're going to do is store toilet paper and be a trader, that's fine. I would be a little more diversified than that. I would have all the toilet paper there is. I would also have all the laxative there is. That way you kind of get it coming and going. And, you know, be wise that way. Nobody laughed at that here. Said if you're going to save toilet paper, save laxative. See, thank you. You weren't paying attention. I at least got a joke. Stacy's always good to laugh at most of my jokes. Lately, though, she's been a little critical. She kind of gives me a thumbs down on some of my cornier jokes. Hey, wait, cornier. That kind of plays in with the laxative. What?
I said you're so corny.
I am corny. Yeah, Batfag saying canned foods last about a year and a half, but flip them every month. Flip the cans over. I had some pineapple that I didn't flip. And it was a year and maybe a month, and they went rancid. I mean, nasty. They turned dark brown and smelled like alcohol. Lou ate them. He had no problem with them, but he didn't know. But that's it. So just the basic stuff today. I got kind of ahead of myself and scared people. Like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't get communications. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Just a tube tent, you know. Two tube tents. Have two of everything if you can. But if you can only get one of everything, you know, get what you can. One of the things that I haven't pushed for a long time. Read above on my junkyard idea. Let me look at that. Dun, dun, dun. Start your own junkyard. Your business becomes your resource and revenue until the game ends. Yeah. Well, that kind of plays in what I'm saying next. Good one, Batfag. If you go to Yahoo, type in free cycler. That's F-R-E-E, cycler. And then you add in your zip code, and when you come to it, and you find a local group, you register there, and you just start looking for free stuff. I've got ham radios, bicycles, boxes of clothes, kids' toys, printers, monitors, just about anything you can imagine is on there. And, of course, you have to make the agreement to do it because it's a trading thing. It's to keep stuff out of the landfill. You have to make an agreement that you won't resell it. That's between you and God. Let's see. I'm trying to think what other people are talking about. Somebody's saying that all they have is a 22 long rifle. That's all you have. That's all you need. Just buy a ton of ammo for a 22 long rifle. You got a Ruger 10/22 or a semi-auto or even a bolt-action 22. That's all you need. The first rule of a gunfight, Lou? What's the first rule of a gunfight, Lou?
Don't have a...
Oh, have a gun, Lou. I thought you were trainable. He was going to say, don't have a knife. Yeah, we were joking around about that today, but he couldn't even deliver that line. You awake over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're close enough.
What's the first rule of a gunfight, Lou?
Don't get into a gunfight.
Yeah, don't get into a gunfight. No, that's knife fight. Actually, what difference is it? Some Batfag says a 22 is okay if you're a good shot. Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, what good is any rifle if you're not a good shot? It doesn't. I mean, 22s are lethal. I don't care if you shoot somebody in the stomach; that bullet's going to come out their shoulder. They do all kinds of unique things in their terminal ballistics, and I've seen a lot of people shot with one 22 shell, 22 round die. I've seen guys walking with 3 or 4 9mm hits, and you're like, why is he still alive? The 22 is that mystery of the firearms world. It's a strange little round. We're going to be back after the break. We're going to talk more about collecting survival gear. And anything you want to talk about, I'll give out the phone number when we come back. Thanks for listening. As the men go marching by, you can hear them as the answer to that roll call in the sky. Colonel Travis, Davy Crockett, and 180 more. Captain Dickinson, Jim Bowie, present and accounted for. Back in 1836, Houston said to Travis, get some volunteers and go, fortify the Alamo. Well, the men came from Texas and from old Tennessee, and they joined up with Travis just to fight for the right to be free. Indian scouts with squirrel guns, men with muzzle loaders, stood together heel and toe to defend the Alamo. You may ne'er see your loved ones, Travis told them that day. Those who want to can leave now, those who fight to the death, let them stay. In the sand he drew a line with his army saber. Out of 185, not a soldier crossed the line. With his banners a-dancing in the dawn's golden light, Santa Anna came prancing on a horse that was black as the night. Sent an officer to tell Travis to surrender. Travis answered with a shell
and a rousing rebel yell set her and her turned scarlet. Played to Quaylo, he roared, I will show them no quarter, everyone will be put to the sword. 185, holding back 5,000. 5 days, 6 days, 8 days, 10. Travis held and held again. Then he sent for replacements for his wounded and lame. But the troops that were coming never came, never came, never came. Twice he charged, then blew recall on the fatal third time. Santa Ana breached the wall, and he killed them one and all. Now the bugles are silent, and there's rust on each sword, and the small band of soldiers lie asleep in the arms of the Lord. In the southern part of Texas, near the town of San Antonio, like a statue on his pintle rides a cowboy all alone. And he sees the cattle grazing where a century before Santa Ana's guns were blazing and the cannons used to roar. And his eyes turn sort of misty and his heart begins to glow, and he takes his hat off slowly to the men of Alamo, to the 13 days of glory at the Siege of Alamo.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family. Get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
Government is the problem.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Are you sure you want to make that statement?
Actually, yes. You got nothing else to say, Lou? You just got rid of it? This is the Dutch Jones radio program. This is the final half hour of our 4 hours of fun.
4 hours.
4 half hours. that we do every Monday through Friday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then we're picked up at 6 p.m., of course, by Liberty Tree Radio. We're happy to be here. Thanks, Ed. I see you're in the room. And if you're standing by, a hearty hello to you. And we've been discussing a lot of different things. The question of 22 caliber 22 rifles or pistols, I assume, would it be in that too, or carbines, coming up in their usefulness. I think they're very useful. The only downside, and I want to make sure I put this out there, is that if you're going to have a 22, buy all the ammo you can. As far as I know, there's no way to manufacture the ammo later, and you're not going to be picking up brass and reloading it. It's a rimfire cartridge. Maybe better men than me know a way to do it, but I have no idea how to reload it. To me, it's all magical voodoo. I can reload centerfire stuff if it's proper. I'm not even an expert reloader, but I've reloaded thousands of rounds on my own. I've hand-loaded on the range for accuracy, stuff like that. But as far as I know, you can't reload 22. So it's if you're going to have a 22, just keep buying it. 500 rounds, $20 is pretty much the commercial rate that I've seen it. Some cheaper stuff online. Go look at ammosurplus.com again. Ammosurplus.com. That's my favorite site of the week. Ammosurplus.com. And buy what you can. I'd rather have, somebody said, 2,000 or 5,000 rounds of 22 than 50 rounds of centerfire cartridge. You know, equal amount of money, I guess. Well, it depends on the round. Yeah, 50 rounds of 50 cal, you know, it goes real fast. Every weapon has its utility and its downsides. Somebody said they didn't like the report. It was kind of quiet, you know, a little wimpy crack of a 22. Well, do like they did in The Godfather and drill holes in the barrel if you want a loud noise. To me, I say take advantage of that small pop. I've used 22s around here to dispatch snakes and critters, and people don't even know I'm shooting. People go, hey, did you hear me shooting last night? I fired 5 rounds at a rattlesnake on the front step. And they're like, I don't hear nothing, and I'm like 200 feet away. So there's an advantage to having a 22 around, and don't poo-poo it. I say this all the time. There are more homicides in the United States by the 22 caliber round than all the other calibers combined, and that's from the U.S. Department of Justice statistics. And so that's one little thing there to finish up what we were talking about on the 22. Now, a lot of people have been asking me about bow and arrows and crossbows. I don't know anything about crossbows. I don't. Historically, I appreciate them. I made one in high school, used it till it broke in wood shop. But bows, I do know a little bit about. I've used compound bows, recurve bows, long bows, whatever. You know, and compound bows, for you who don't know, are the ones with the pulleys. You know, it lets you put a little more weight into that arrow, a little more foot-pounds of pressure into that arrow without having to exert more force. Bow and arrows are great. They're not something you just pick up and you start using. You've got to get the right arrows for the right bow, and in some cases it can be downright dangerous to shoot the wrong arrows with the wrong bow when you get some of the heavier compounds and even recurves. Make sure you're using the right kind of arrows that are weighted. Make sure they're the right material. I've seen arrows explode when somebody picks up an arrow that was designed for a lighter weight recurve and they put it on a heavier, like 75-pound compound and let it go. So my advice is to study it and research it. Get the arrows cut to the right length for your draw. There's all kinds of stuff there. It's not as easy as picking up a rifle. And it's a little harder skill set to learn. But once you do, a bow and arrow is extremely useful for two things. One, which is limited, and it's the glorified side, is taking out sentries. You know, I still don't know how you're going to put a razor blade through some guy's body and he's not going to scream like a banshee. So it kind of takes out the whole stealth thing. Well, nobody will hear you. It's stealthy. Go ahead, shoot him through the throat. I've seen people shot through the throat now with an arrow, but they still make a horrible, god-awful noise. I'm not going to discuss that. But number two is the collection of food, game. Hunting with a bow and arrow is a very useful skill to learn. And it's not just big game. You can get blunt tips that are stun tips and take rabbits, take neighborhood cats, and knock them out or even kill them if you're close enough. Makes no noise, no blood trail, nothing. Well, there can be some blood trail if you're really close and it cracks your skull open. But it's good to have that bow and arrow, if nothing other than food collection. If they start hearing in a general area even just single shots every couple of days, they're going to send people in to explore it. And with the modern technology they have, don't be surprised if they can locate you in just one shot, especially in an urban area. in Europe now. They're putting up, and they use it during Kosovo, Bosnia, Herzegovina, those issues over there, where they could locate snipers with a triangulation acoustic system. So why put your whole situation at risk when you can just use a bow and arrow to go out and drop a deer? People take wild boar with them, although I wouldn't. I'd rather use a spear. And that's something I'm not an expert in, but in the hunting magazines, guys use spears, especially our Florida listener might be able to tell us in the swamps down there. And no, it's not like the Duke boys. You can't put a stick of dynamite on a bow and arrow. They fly really bad. You might be able to lob one in, but you wouldn't be able to hit anything with accuracy. Trust me on this one. Let's just say I attached a road flare one time to an arrow and tried it, and it just it's kind of hard to get dynamite these days. But I used a road flare, and we tried it, and it didn't work. We tried all kinds. We tried to make explosive tips with shotgun shells, with the primer facing the other way, or you fill the shaft of the arrow with gunpowder and then put it. Nah, this does a bunch of boo pucky. Just learn to use the arrow to go get food for your family, right? You know, why modify a bow and arrow to be an anti-tank device when you can go pick up an anti-tank weapon on the field, right? Go get yourself a 90mm recoilless rifle later. But you got to have a good meal in your belly to do it, so use the bow and arrow. Use the bow and arrow to collect game. So if you come across even a small bow and arrow, like these little fiberglass recurves at a yard sale for a couple bucks, even if it doesn't have a string on it, buy it. Take it to your local bow shop. Have them measure it, get the right bowstring, have them, buy five or six arrows, and then buy five or six more. You practice with the five or six, you're going to mess them up, you're going to tear them up, but then keep the five or six others in reserve. You might be able to get arrows for a dollar. I'm talking about just taking small game. Just regular broadhead tips, are fine for taking deer, but you may just get away with something else. Plus, making an arrow is not that hard for close-up collection of game. I wouldn't count my life on it in combat. But look at what the Montyards did. And study the Montyards, the mountain people in between Laos and Vietnam. They started out with crossbows. Been resisting the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese for a long, long time before we got there. More cases of malpractice than gunshot deaths. I don't know. Arrows. Just keep them in your arsenal for just another tool to do what you can. And the other thing is, not so much here in California because they're illegal here, of course, but those old rusty leg hold traps that you see people having at yard sales. In Colorado, they were all over the place. I had my own trap line as a kid, and I made a lot of money collecting the bounty or fur purchase price on everything from muskrats, even a couple skunks, although I didn't do that a lot. These leg hold traps, the old ones, are very, very good tools to have. And if you get bigger ones, they work on humans. But, you're going to need something like a bear trap or something. But the smaller ones will take smaller game, not just vermin and pesky stuff, but you can snag other forms of food. Plus, it may keep you can use it for predator control if they're coming after your survival ranch, your chickens, stuff like that. You want to keep the coyotes down. Why do you want to shoot them? Why waste a round on them? Why make that shot? Use these leg hold traps. Now, I prefer snares. Get as much metal wire as you can, like piano wire type stuff, and keep it in your kits. I've shown you that before. Piano wire type snares, that's what they use here in California. You have to have a special license. You can use them for dogs or coyotes. And they claim they just relocate the wild dogs or the coyotes, but I know they're just going up there and shooting them after they snare them. But that way they don't accidentally get a neighborhood dog. They get the feral dog or whatever. But leg hold traps are a good thing to have. If you can get any of those live capture traps, now if you live in a rural area, you're going to see those. Those are great for catching stuff. You may catch all kinds of things that you could raise or use the fur. Make yourself your own raccoon skin cap. Don't turn your nose down on these traps. You may say, oh, they're vicious, they're terrible. You got to get back to the pioneer mentality in your head or you're not going to make it. Well, you're not. You may make it, but you won't have as comfortable a ride as the guy who's got all the furs. And look at things that are going to be useful as currency. We may be furs again. I think it's going to be 22 shells and things like that. Bad Fag saying he can use large fish hooks and bait meat to snare coyotes on trees. I've seen that too. You hang meat in trees, highly illegal, but in a survival situation, who cares? And yeah, he said it right. Bat Fag, get out of my head. As soon as I said highly illegal, it popped up on my screen. PETA types go nuts on this one because you come out and it looks like a tree's been decorated with dead coyotes. And the other thing I noticed, I've known people who've done this. The other coyotes will try and eat the dead coyote while it's hanging there or wounded.
Even on the side of the road.
Yeah, they'll cannibalize. So you got to get out there quick. Check your trap lines frequently or you're not going to get anything. But I'm telling you, coyote fur is warm. Coyote fur is very warm. I used to sell coyote hides to the military when I was a teenager because they made the parka liners out of coyote fur. Now, they probably don't anymore. It's probably synthetic or something, but it's, you know, so you do that. But fur, learn how to do that and find the tools that you'll need. Because I'm not going to be, yeah, Stacy's leaning in there. I may not be able to do a whole lot, but I can go work a trap line. Come back, salt some hides, stretch some hides, and I got something to trade. You know, once all my family has all their fur underwear sewn up, you know, after a couple of years and our skivvies are worn out, I'll use rabbit fur underwear. Why not? I think it's very comfortable. And chamois are made out of the deer hides, whatever. You know, we're going to go last of the Mohicans here if we stay in this location. I got to laugh at what goes on in the chat room here over at the U Broadcast. It's great. It's wunderbar. Wunderbar. I haven't given out the phone number. Somebody's telling me again. 559-561-8225. Okay, I'm going to slow that down. 559-561-8225. So that's really good there. Mentioning the fish hooks is what I was going to go into next. Buy all the used fishing gear you can. You don't have to go to Walmart and buy a bunch of new stuff. Go to secondhand stores. I have found whole tackle boxes for $2, and they got a bunch of junk in there. Sure, you're going to have to sit down and untangle it all, but look at the money you're saving. Plus, you get the tackle box. A couple closed reel rods. If you're good with the open face rods, okay, but I don't recommend them for beginners. City folk, no city folk getting the open face rods. They're a pain to use. If you can get the kind that are collapsible that fit in a backpack, sure. But there's nothing wrong with having if you can get them cheap, a half dozen fishing rods in your shed. That's a means of food collection. It's a means of food collection. That fishing rod that you may pay $5 for at a secondhand store or a dollar at a yard sale, if you're good like me, is going to be worth a lot in trade to the guy who didn't prepare. Now, I'm not saying gouge them or exploit them. We're going to be Christians here. But when you're trading, you have to keep in mind the parable of the virgins. You know, you don't have to have charity in that type of situation to that level. If he's got something you need, and you may be surprised, a car, 50 gallons of gas may go for a fishing rod. I don't know what the post-collapse economy is going to be like. I really don't know what the post-collapse economy is going to be like. So netting, fishing gear, all of you are like, oh, gill netting, that's terrible. Hey, when you got to feed 30 to 40 people, you're going to throw a net across that stream down the hill. You know, you want to be a good steward so that there's enough there next season. You may even use the netting to catch the fish and put them in your own pond. Why not? A means of production. We're not talking about just going road warrior here. You know, that's not what this is. We're not anarchists. It's not, oh, society falls apart, we go to the dark ages, we all run around like barbarians. No, we need to start rebuilding right away. I mean, just as soon as we're going down the list of people we've got to round up and hang for treason, we have to have another list of ways to rebuild our economy. I'm not talking about trade with other nations. I'm talking about trade within your village, trade within your group. And these means of production are critical. One of the things to be looking for right now, if you're staying in place or at your hide, rolls of chicken wire will be worth their weight in gold. Chicken wire isn't just for chickens anymore. It's not for making the prom float. It's not for making the 4th of July Big Uncle Sam. In the old days, they actually used it to keep chickens in their cages. And rabbits, quail, turkey, whatever you collect with your live trap cages, you're going to need chicken wire. You're going to need lumber. You're going to need fence posts. All this stuff laying around is scrap now. You see some guy's old shed, and you got a pickup, You got your 15-year-old boy, say, hey, mind if we clean up your shed for, you know, give us $40, we'll haul all that stuff off for you. You make $40, plus you go through and you keep the good stuff, you dump the other stuff at the landfill or trade it or sell it at the swap meet. I used to do that as a kid. We'd clean out people's barns and stuff and find some of the most amazing things. You know, a lot of times they were looking over your shoulder going, no, I want that, no, I want that, but you're still going to get stuff. And with that chicken wire, if you get find enough wire, you can make fish traps out of it. You don't know how to make a fish trap? Never heard of that? Native Americans were excellent at it with woven baskets. Why go through all the trouble? Just have chicken wire ready to go. Look at how they made it, and then you do it. You make it with modern, you know, implements. And a lot of this stuff you can get for free. I got so much chicken wire laying around here that I've just picked up that I've seen. People throw it away. They don't use the end of a roll. I don't care if it's 5 feet. I can do something with it. Even if it's just helping to make a sniper hide with chicken wire, keep it. Keep good track of your stuff, too. That's one thing I really got to work on. We moved, so we lost a lot of stuff in the move. It's not really lost. We just don't know which container it's in that we've moved 300 feet to the south. But keep track of your stuff. Keep track of your stuff. I've seen people up here, they get a couple school buses, and they just put it all in school buses. If you've got the space for it, fine. You know, most people don't give them a second look. The C-train containers, a lot of people are like, hey, what's that? What's in there? Something valuable. School bus or an old van, you know, I don't know what it is. You've got to tow it in there. Find some place to put this thing to keep it out of the elements. Don't just take it and throw it in the dirt and let it become part of the mud. Don't do that. Hang it up. Take care of it. It'll take care of you. Take care of your equipment, and it will take care of you. There's so much I want to share with you guys. Sometimes it's hard for me to put it into words. Sometimes it doesn't come out right, and people go, oh, that didn't make any sense. That's fine, but at least you get the gist of what I'm saying here. The process of survival has to become your goal. Preparing has to be your goal. There is no end to it. You don't ever stop doing this. So don't worry if you haven't reached, you know, oh man, I don't have 50,000 rounds for every rifle. I don't have 2 years' supply of food for everybody. Just keep trudging along. Do not despise the small things. Because it's a collection of small things that make great blessings happen. It's the way God works, mostly, I've seen, the small things. Sure, he comes down once in a while and his big hand comes down and spanks your enemy and, you know, tsunamis hit and volcanoes burp and, you know, things like that. Great wars sweep across continents. But usually God works in the small things. And who are we to mock how he works? We have to work in the same way. So if that means just keeping a couple 5-gallon buckets that are labeled food, clothing, shelter, defense. And each day you look at it and go, well, what can I put in this one? Ah, I picked up a pocket knife for $1 at the hardware store. I went in for my boss to get something. I had it 4 quarters. I saw they had pocket knives for $1, so I bought one. Throw it into one of the buckets, wherever you want to put it. This week there was a sale on socks, good winter socks. So I bought a pack of 4. I'm going to wear 2. I throw 2 in the bucket. This week when I went down to buy my monthly supply of food, they had 2 bundles of spaghetti for the price of 1. So I'll buy 4, I'll eat 2 this month, and I'll throw 2 in the bucket. Is it really that hard? There should be no panic involved in this. There should be no panic involved in this. Check out, you're already on the internet listening to me. 99% of the people listening to me hear me on the internet, I think. Check out Craigslist for free stuff. Get in the habit of being the guy who picks up all that free stuff. If you don't want it, find a dumpster to put it in. Trade it if it's, you know, if you don't need it. If it's worthless, burn it for fuel. I don't know, depending on where you live. Make the process your hobby. Make the learning curve be that every day you want to learn something about a new skill or a new item or a new thing you're going to do. How do you eat an elephant, folks? Lou, how do you eat an elephant? Not how you eat it, but how do normal people eat one?
Dislocate your jaw.
No, don't dislocate your jaw, Lou. How do you eat how's a normal person supposed to eat an elephant? One bite at a time? Or with peanut
Is
butter?
Is it alive or dead?
Is the elephant alive or dead? Annie, it doesn't matter if the elephant... Let's say the elephant's dead. You just shot it, Luke. How do you eat an elephant?
Well, you have to skin it first.
No, whole. You have to eat it whole. You have to eat every bit of it. Snout to tail. How would you eat an elephant, Lou? Yeah, one bite at a time.
That's how you eat anything. That's not a...
That's not a real big insight, Lou says. That's how you eat anything, one bite at a time. I've seen you eat a hamburger, Lou. That's not how you eat a hamburger. You just snarf it. That's how you eat corn on the cob. You inhale it. That's why I said, how does a normal person eat an... Is it dead or alive? Is it charging at me or is I sneaking up on it? Okay, Lou, it's dipped in chocolate. How do you eat an elephant?
Is it skinned?
It's skinned, deboned, and dipped in chocolate. 2,000 pounds of pachyderm, a creamy center filling. How do you eat an elephant, Lou? He's thinking.
You gotta get the bullet out.
No, there's no bullet in it. It died of natural causes.
That's gonna taste horrible.
No. We were right there when it died. It's not rancid.
How old is it?
Oh, man. Lou is just a picky eater. Why do you think we bought those elephants? They're not just for you to ride around all day. We're going to have to eat one eventually. Unless you learn how to milk them, we're going to eat those elephants, Lou. Lou. You like fish sticks, Lou?
Yeah.
What are you? Some kind of fish homo? No, that's an old joke. That's an old joke. You have to watch South Park. Anyway, folks, we kind of got off the track there, but I never miss a chance to go back and forth with Lou on trying to get him to eat something, even if it's a fictional elephant. But if you're listening to this show, you're two things. You're either curious or you're already part of the resistance, period, which is a good thing. I mean, you've overcome the battle of stagnation. You've overcome the urge to sit on your hands and do nothing. Or the third thing is you're an informant and you're just recording everything I say and you'll go on our list too one day. But if you're one of the first two, you're either part of the resistance now or you're curious. You're on the right path. And that's all it is a path. That's all it is a path. You're walking along, you're picking up shiny rocks, you're smelling the roses. It's no different than going on a hike. Except you've got to pick up the skills, you've got to pay attention to people that have been there, people that you got to ask people that are coming the other way, what's the trail like up ahead? What's this path like? Is it a 4-mile trail? So you can pace yourself. Do not panic in this issue. There's no reason to. The Lord's with us in this. We're in a period of grace. We're doing whatever we can. To please the Lord, He's going to bless us, and He's going to give us exactly as much time as He knows we need. If, you know, everybody's saying tomorrow during the election there's going to be uprisings and riots, okay. I don't believe that, but okay. I can live with that. I'm as prepared as I'm going to be for the moment in time in history that the Lord has prepared me to be prepared. So if you have that same mindset, you're going to be okay. Don't let fear stifle you. Don't let fear paralyze you. That's what happens to the enemy. Let fear work on their hearts. Let fear work on their indifferences with one another. Somebody told me this week when the Shiites and the Sunnis are working together, we realize we're in trouble. Well, that's about where we're at. Our enemies are all working together. We've got to come up with a defense, and we need every single one of you. I need every one of you, your families that are along for the cause, and your friends that are along for the cause. The people that you tell about this show, the people that you hand copies of the show to, the people that you send to the website. I need every one of you. Not for me. This isn't about me. But I need every one of you to be part of the cause. The Lord doesn't need you. The Lord wants you. Isn't that a cool feeling? He doesn't need you. He wants you to do what we're doing. So let's sit around tomorrow, make fun of the election together, tune in at 5. Tell me your stories. You see a bunch of like the same Mexican guy coming in twice and voting or something. I want to know about it. Other than that, God bless you all and everything you do in the Holy Cause of Liberty. Check out DutchJones.info. Somebody made a $25 donation. I think it was our friend Chuck, one of the pod people. We appreciate that. It's going right for the cause. All your donations are not tax deductible, but well appreciated. God bless you. And remember, the sword is heavy and the battle is hard. But the victory belongs to the Lord. Talk to you tomorrow.